Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We have a lot in store for us this hour. We're going to start with another one of our stories from the U.S. Social Forum that I went to last week with producer Christina Arison. We interviewed Victor Medina and Diana Oval from a group called Frente in Maricopa County, fighting the immigration laws of Arizona. And then later in the program, we'll hear an interesting story about the history of Druid Hill Park, and then a really fascinating look back at history with some of the men and women who sat in at Druid Hill Park trying to integrate the tennis courts and had a very difficult time. All that this hour. Stay with us, but first, let's go to the U.S. Social Forum and the people from Maricopa County. So talk about what it literally is like for you living in the midst of that place.
Hot. For many of the residents there, they live in terror, in complete terror to come outside. They're afraid just to even walk to the store that, you know, there's going to be some raid going on. Some people are even afraid to go to work in fear that maybe today is the day that somebody, tips off their restaurant, their store in the mall, and that there's a massive raid. So it's just going to bust in with agents and masks and being torn away from their families.
I think also on another level, I mean, this issue doesn't only hit the undocumented community, it hits everybody. So as myself being a documented Chicana, I also have fears that when I go out that my community is going to be raided, I'm going to be profiled because of what I look like. The people that I'm with are the targets. And so even for a documented Chicana, it's an issue for myself. And so, you know, just like Victor mentioned, having that fear and that intimidation being pumped into our community, it's a tension that we all feel.
I mean, it seems to me that part of it, when I first heard this, the bill was passed in Arizona. I mean, it hits me. It was like it is like declaring war on anybody who is a brown-skinned human being living in Arizona.
It's a culture genocide. Just the day before, there was a local chain called Rancho Market. Right before the bill was signed by Janet Brewer, we had a huge protest in front of the Sheraton Hotel. Well, they let go 300 of their workers, 300 in Phoenix, Arizona alone. So who knows what kind of effects that had on the community, you know?
You know, also the day or the time that the bill was signed, there was also another bill that was signed to allow people to carry weapons without any type of documentation or paperwork, and that they're allowed to do that. And so that's just the type of state that we live in, where it's okay to carry guns, but it's not okay to have brown color skin. And it's just it's a horrible atmosphere that we live in. But the community support is there. A lot of people are ready to fight against the oppression. Everybody's standing. We've been able to formulate boycotts against some of the Arizona manufacturer companies and people who support SB 1070, like the Arizona Diamondbacks, but also build barrio defense committees to just reach out into the neighborhoods and to see how can we as a community rise above this oppression. So that throughout the mess of this bill, a lot of really positive things have been able to happen with the community and just getting supported. But the fight is not over. We always say, you know, before SB 1070, there was a 287G program, which is still effective in our community. And after 1070, there will be something very similar to it. And it's just some of the politics that we're surrounded in the racist state of Arizona.
So talk about the bill itself, and when the bill goes into effect, and when it goes into effect, and what can happen, what will literally happen when this bill goes into effect?
If you are pulled over and my friend is undocumented, quote unquote undocumented, that's a misdemeanor for me, and they're automatically in the system without due process. They're automatically in the deportation proceedings without being in front of a judge. You can be caught jaywalking, and just any simple reason to tick somebody off and give a police officer the right to arrest you or ask you for your identification or your documents. You know, it's just things like that. It can be the simplest things.
The day the bill goes into effect, what it will feel like in Maricopa County for us will be like what a weekend is like when the 287G agreement allows our PIO to do raids. The cop watches that we go out to film the arrest, the swarming of deputies all over our county will be there, but not only for a weekend throughout, you know, the time period of the sweeps, but it'll be a sweep every day. People who are documented are going to worry that they're going to be profiled. People who are undocumented are going to have fear to even leave their houses. And so it's going to be like there's going to be constant raid activity going on in the community.
Our PIO has even said publicly that the 30th he's going to hold raids the day after the bill goes into effect.
Who's going to hold raids?
Joe Arpaio. Okay. Sheriff Arpaio, yes.
Talk about him for a minute. What is it like for even now, before this bill goes into effect, to live in a county that's really run by this man?
Sad. It's sad. We hold a huge resistance against him. Puente has been protesting in front of our Wells Fargo building in downtown for over 19 months, and I'm told they finally served him with an eviction letter. We do protests in front of his detention training centers. It's sad that he's not my sheriff.
Arpaio has been a sheriff for over 13 plus years, and so he's been able to get reelected time and time again. He was just reelected a few years ago for his like fifth or sixth term or something. But the type of man that he is that he doesn't care about human rights issues. You know, if you're here and you're undocumented because your parents brought you here, that's your fault. Your parents shouldn't have brought you here. If you have brown skin color skin, you shouldn't be acknowledged. You shouldn't even be in the States crossing illegally. This is just some of the type of like mentality that this man has. Like, he has no sensitivity toward human rights issues at all. And so just some of the way he runs his concentration camps, or what he calls Tent City, it's horrible. It's under an investigation. It's been investigated by the Department of Justice for almost 2 years now, yet we still wait for answers, for some sort of solution from the Department of Justice. But also, you know, he has a health code violation going on in the Tent City. People who are committed into his jails, they are treated like criminals. They are beaten. They are refused food. It's horrible. It's under investigation, but we're still waiting to have some sort of solution come out of that.
And it's also segregated in there as well.
What do you mean segregated?
He keeps the Browns on one side and others on one side. There was this video. Who made the video? I can't remember off the top of my head. But they had went into the Tent Cities, and they had this guy that was in custody. He's all, just look around. You know, he's targeting us, and it's only obvious just by looking around, you know, who he's after.
I met a woman who, what we do is we compile testimonies and stories to give to the Department of Justice so they can continue their investigation. But one of the recent stories and testimonies that I recently filmed was a woman who had who had been detained, beaten badly, and thrown into these jails where she was with murderers, criminals, people who she looked around and thought, why am I here? You know, what did I do? And the reason why she was pulled over is because she looked suspicious. And so that's one of the main reasons why people are pulled over off the streets. Either it's a broken taillight, or they look like a victim, or somebody suspicious in the area. And so they target those people. But just hearing some of the testimonies of people, how they've been affected, how when they see the sheriff bands patrolling, how their children say, are you going to be home tonight? And they hold on to them closely because they never know when their parents will be there and when they won't.
Tell me about Frente. What is the organization Frente?
Puente is an organization. It's a grassroots organization that began about 3 years ago when there was issues going down at a furniture store in Phoenix, Arizona called Pruitt's. A lot of day laborers were looking for work and standing out there to get paid to move furniture. And Pruitt's, what they ended up doing was contracting off-duty deputies to come patrol the area, and they had Arpaio out there doing sweeps, and just they started working with them. So a bunch of community members got together in resistance of just the oppression that was going on in front of the store. But since then, we've been able to lead national marches and national actions going on regarding the 287G bill. Now the 1070 is one of the main issues going on in the community right now. As I mentioned before, we have a barrio defense committees where the area is broken up from north, south, east to west, and people get together and gather. We teach Know Your Rights trainings, ESL trainings. We do a lot of communal work, working with the community and taking their opinions, their expressions, and their questions up to Congress. Just last week, we had two delegates who flew out there to go speak to Homeland Security and people within Congress to address those types of issues.
And so tell me what you expect is going to happen when this, and what's happening inside the community regarding this bill and when it goes into effect. I mean, and what do you think the reaction is going to be?
I think a lot of people already accept the fact that this bill is going to hit their community. We're already working on how can we resist this bill, ways of supporting the community, like I mentioned before, with the 287G project, that we would undergo raids for about a weekend. That type of energy that we have throughout that tense period is going to be an everyday basis where we're going to be constantly watching the community's back. Speaking from a Chicana female's perspective, this bill is just horrible to, just like I said, being a woman, for the simple fact that now the undocumented women will also be targeted for criminal offenses, but those will also go unreported. Anybody who is undocumented on your neighborhood block is now going to be looked at as, like, you can just basically break into their house and do whatever you want, and those types of crimes will also go unreported. The crime rate will go down, but it'll initially go up in the sense where people just cannot defend themselves without the proper documentation.
Let me tell you about an incident of fear. You know, I had my car worked on before I came to Detroit, and one of the guys who worked on my car the Saturday before had a gun put in his stomach, and he was pushed into a van in a neighborhood and to all of his rent money taken. Now, I don't know who perpetuated the crime, but he could not and would not report it. But this didn't happen to him every day. This happened to him individually on a single basis time. And yet he would not report it. It's a total loss for him. It's a total victory for the criminal. So that's the kind of thing that happens on just a massive scale to individuals who cannot respond to the police department. And it's happening, Diane said, to the young to women, to everybody in that sector of the society that is now fearful of dealing with the police department. That's one effect. Now, as far as what's going to happen, nobody knows whether this thing's going to be rejected or accepted on July 29th. Anybody who thinks they know is giving you false information.
What do you mean you don't know if it can be accepted or rejected? It's going to go into law, no?
Well, no, it could be challenged and in court. And as of recently, there have been a couple of amicus briefs, which are friends of the court, which are added on to existing lawsuits, one by the country of Mexico. So that is being challenged. And so nobody knows whether, as of July 29th, whether the court is going to hold off the implementation of this law. It is pending in the court system right now.
But also, when this law, you know, if it does become effective in our community, I just think about all of the criminal charges and lawsuits that are going to come out of this. And I'm just, you know, like with the 287G project, there's already been so many lawsuits pending and filed against the discrimination and the profiling going on in the community. So to me, I just see it as like a major lawsuit also.
What about the resistance in the community itself? What form is it taking among the people in Arizona, whether they are, you know, Latinos or Anglos? What kind of resistance is taking place against this law?
There's been several ways of resisting, whether it's to boycott, you know, some Arizona. But the Barrio Defense Committees is what I mentioned, where everybody breaks off into their own barrios and they weaken their own communities, and they defend their communities by learning more about resisting the bill. But we're going to have a national action on the 29th, where just a lot of people are going to come down and help us and support us in this. And we hope to also continue this fight. From that point on, it doesn't end on the 29th. You know, it just only begins, really.
Thank you for helping to spread the word.
The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. Find out more at www.hopkinsmedicine.org.